Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Gonna say good morning again, but it's actually like properly the afternoon. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I have to say good morning, like as an introduction, but it's,
you know,
really
what it is
morning.
there aren't enough hours in the day, and before you know it, it's past 12 o'clock and you're like, where the hell's the morning gone? But the sun is finally, I'm looking out the window now and the sun is shining where I am. What about you?
Yeah, same actually. We've been like, we've had a day of just like kind of just doing errands, do you know what I mean? And like, yeah, one of the things we needed to do was like clean out the car. Like, I don't know about you, but I literally have like dressing gowns in my car. Like, I mean,
oh,
I've got all sorts, like all sorts. Like, I could, you know, I could probably like clothe a family of six with what's in my car.
But also the car turns into like the mobile like burger van. Like,
yeah,
but with no food that you would ever want to touch or eat.
Yeah, with mouldy food.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I swear to God, the other day I was like, is there a living animal in the boot of my car? Because it was,
it's
that filthy.
So,
so gross.
Oh. So gross. So we've been trying to do that all day. And we've been like, right, okay, yeah, we'll nip out when it stops raining. And then you look out the window and you're like, oh, it's actually hammering it down.
Yeah.
And then, but now, yeah, I'm looking at sunshine now as well. So really, James should be doing it right now.
Thank the Lord. For a moment, and then it's going to start pissing down again. Georgia, I feel like today you need to make your special work announcement, please.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a good idea. So after, I mean, it's over 2 years, like two and a bit years, I am going to step back into the corporate world.
No! Yeah. Don't do
it's
it!
It's so weird. I mean, I bet so many people relate to this. Like, you have a kind of a time frame in your mind. You think, I reckon, yeah, once Gigi's two, like, I might feel like I need to do something else. Mm. And then, like, an opportunity just came up. And you know what? I'm not going to give too many details because I don't know, there might be people listening who I'm going to be working with or whatever. But I'm just going to give it a go 4 days a week. But obviously at the moment, everything's at home, which it's weird because I kind of wanted to get back into the office, you know, like, so we've said, haven't we? Like, we really want to like be around people. So I'm starting a job with people I don't know and a job I don't know from home. So if anyone wants to send me any tips how you can build relationships, then please do, because I haven't got a clue how I'm going to do that.
But also, don't freak out if you're listening to this like I did when first Georgia told me that she was going to get a job and I was like, what do you mean? Are you leaving Made by Mamas? There's no way she's leaving. She's still
no,
very much going to be juggling
and
doing podcasts in and around her lunch break. I'm not sure how she's going to fit it all in because Georgia works like an absolute Trojan. Like, she's saying, sitting here going, oh, has it been 2 years? Georgia's been working every single day on Made by Mamas, so I'm going to be picking up all of her slack that she can't, because you know, she's superwoman, but she's not, you know, cat woman. And so we're going to make it work.
We
but
are going to make
for
it
you,
work.
Mate. It's good news.
Yeah, and I'm trying to not feel too stressed about it before I've started. And you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And I think anyone listening to this who's kind of worrying about going back to work or whatever, I think you just got to, I think just give it a go. And, you know, yeah, I think we just got, you've got to try if you want to.
Mm. Yeah, you've got to give it a go, George. And yeah. I mean, like, nothing in life is permanent apart from having a child, death and taxes. And they're the only things we can't change in life. So listen, if you don't enjoy it, you're not having a good time and you don't feel like you want to do it, then you have a rethink. But we're really proud of you. And we're everything about this whole platform is about making things work for you. Exactly. Being a mum, being a partner, being a career boss. And I have another job. I have a complete, complete world to Made by Mamas, and I make that work, and you allow me to do that. And I know that we're going to give each other this gift, and it's great. Absolutely. She's going to be rolling in the cash as well. So dinner's on Georgia. I don't have any big announcements.
What? That's a letdown, isn't it? We do have a big announcement because we've actually got a really exciting guest today.
Oh, yes.
Really exciting guest.
Yeah. She's such a special human being. I know her very well personally, and we spend a lot of time together, and she's got three beautiful children. She's one of the loveliest people I know, actually. Very kind, caring. She's got a very sort of sympathetic side to her, amazing energy. She has had an incredible career. I mean, I've watched her on our sort of screens and listened to her music for kind of 15 years. I mean, she's an absolute boss. One of the biggest girl groups in the world she was in, still is, because they've now come back and have, planning a tour, I think, for either the end of this year or next. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Kimberly Wyatt, an actual pussycat doll.
So today joining us on the podcast, one of the nicest women, full stop really, an actual mate of mine, a real mate of mine for a very long time. She is superstar to many. She's been gracing our screens in one of the biggest girl groups on the planet for many, many years. Not too many, because I don't want to wager. She's also TV personality, mum to three, wife to Max. Today joining us on the podcast is Kimberly Wyatt. Hello.
Yay. We always want to kick off the conversations at the moment by just asking how you are. What a weird time it's been. How's it been for you?
I mean, it's been crazy, hasn't it? Like, there's been so many shifts at so many points. And now becoming a mum of three, I've got two girls in school. I'm juggling Senna, who is a gorgeous little boy, but he also loves a tantrum. So literally this morning, I went on a little school mum's coffee morning, and Senna's face down, flat on the floor, screaming his head off and kicking. So it's been one of those mornings, but I'm good otherwise. Yeah, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm content, I feel loved up, and yeah.
I feel loved up, that's so cute, because it still feels like the first date with Max, hey? Still the romance is there, Kim.
Still kicking.
How do you deal with those tantrums? What sort of a mum are you? Like, do you rush over and try and pick him up, or do you just let him get on with it?
You know, he's one of those kids, I feel like I've got a practice patient. So I just let him do his thing, and I just crouch down and wait for him to just pull himself together a little bit. Like, I could see people watching and kind of having a little joke about it. And I think that people expect you to kind of scoop him up. But yeah. I know if I scoop him up, he's going to punch me. He's going to scratch me. He's going to squeeze me. It's just best we give him a little moment. So yeah. I just try and practice patience and wait for the moment to arise.
Yeah. And both Georgia and I have actually left our children in the aisles of various supermarkets and just walked off around to the next aisle and just thought, okay, I think they're going to be okay. I can still hear them.
Yeah, what do you still do? See them. I know. Exactly. Do you know what? With my son, I used to be able to just go, bye, okay, I'm going now. And he'd be like, quickly run. Now I do it to my daughter. She's like, yeah, all right, see you later. Yeah. I'll be fine. Just watch me. I've got this.
It's crazy because they all have such different personalities. And so it's like the waiting game of figuring out how best to parent them and be there for them. And, you know, some need, like my second child, Maple, because I've got three. Maple's such a beautiful little calm, sweet soul. Like, she needs cuddles. She needs to be picked up as soon as she's feeling, you know, anything but happy. Like, she needs that. But my oldest and my youngest, they're independent little creatures, and I just gotta make space for that.
Yeah, Willow's definitely like, you know, I'm gonna do my thing here and I will come to you when I'm ready for a play date, right? She's kind of like, she's so independent, which is brilliant.
But it's like, you don't get the kisses, you don't get the cuddles, but they get to choose what relationship they have with you, basically. Mm. And you just have to like find comfort and love within that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get asked this a lot, actually, Kim. So I kind of want to take you back to the moment that you decided that you wanted to become a mother. You obviously have had this, still have this incredible career. You're traveling the globe. You're in the Pussycat Dolls. And you meet Max. And what do you remember the moment that you guys had that conversation about having babies? Was it a light bulb moment, or did it take a few conversations to get there?
You know what? For me, it was my ultimate dream. You know, I always wanted to live the dream as far as career-wise, but ultimately, like, I've always just wanted to find love and be a mom and be married and have that life. So I just was sort of not searching for, because, like, I've had an ultimate life, being a pussycat doll, traveling the world, doing so many different things. But when I met Max, and, you know, I did have sort of those incredible sparks when we met, and, like, fell in love quite quickly, really. And I was just so excited to know that he sort of met me with those feelings and was on board with wanting to get married, wanting to have kids, having the sort of same values within what I was looking for, he was looking for as well. So yeah, I'll never forget. I'd just done the jump. I was flying back from Austria. We were getting married 2 weeks later. And Davina came up, because we're all on a little plane together. She comes up and she's like, "So what are you two talking about?" And I remember thinking, how embarrassing. We're not married yet. And we're sitting here chatting about what our future children's names are going to be. And she was like, "Oh, that's so sweet." She's like, "I know what you should name your first child." We're like, "Oh God, don't say it. Because what if we don't like it? Like, just let's not have an awkward situation." But Davina McCall sat there. She was like, "It's got to be Willow." And so she
called it.
So she named Willow. Oh my God. And so when you did decide, right, that this is it, maybe when you found out you were pregnant, how did you feel? Were you nervous? Because I guess not going from being a pussycat doll, because you are both right now, but it's a very different world, isn't it? Traveling the world and performing to being a mother.
You know what? I was elated because we got married. We went to Mauritius on our honeymoon, which was beautiful. It was gorgeous. We went to New York and stayed until I could get my visa sorted and everything. And by the time that had happened, I went to DJ school. I was in New York at the Scratch Academy, Run DMC Scratch Academy. By the time I set foot back in London, I was pregnant. So wow. It was like fish bash bosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No mucking around.
None whatsoever.
And did you take it in your stride? Like, did you enjoy your pregnancy? Were there any elements that you struggled with?
I loved the first pregnancy. I was so fascinated, and I always had been, about the fact that we can grow these little humans in our bodies and what's gonna happen. Like, every little thing, I was tracking it on the apps, and I was just so excited and fascinated by it all. The backache though, and trying to sleep, and the tossing and turning, and the wheeze, like, it became quite intense. And she was breech, so her head was, like, up at my ribs. Like, any bump in the car was just agony. But I loved that first pregnancy. Second and third, a bit of a different story.
Not so much. Were you nervous about how you were going to adapt and keep your career going? I think so many of us feel so nervous about, we want to do it all. Like, we want to do it all as mothers. Were you nervous about how you were going to do that?
I think in the beginning I wasn't so, because I was in that bubble of just getting married and excited to start a family and moving somewhere new, and things were in such a lovely place. I felt like I was in this safety bubble. But as our family grew and we moved, and, like, you know, the stresses of what it means to move from one country to another, it became quite daunting. It became very, very difficult. And you lose your identity, don't you, a bit, because you become a mom and you immerse yourself in all of their needs and you feel as selflessly as you can to make sure that you're meeting everything that they need. I don't really have much of, like, a, you know, my parents aren't really in my life. I don't have any a phone call that I can call upon or somebody checking in on me. Those sorts of things were really daunting, of like, okay, I just need to, like, completely listen to my instincts and just do this my way and try and make the changes that I don't feel like I probably had in my childhood growing up. I want to be the new cycle. I want to start a new cycle for mine. So it's been interesting.
Yeah, we touch on that quite a lot, actually, Kim, that you learn so much from your parents, and you learn everything that they did brilliantly. And obviously, they were just trying to do their best. But then you take those things forward into your own children's lives and the way that you bring them up. But then you also look at, you know, the things that didn't work out as well. And you learn from those as well. And you're kind of like, well, I'm not going to do it that way, because actually that might have left an imprint in you. I think it's interesting that, I think that relationship between your parents and you, and then how you raise your children, is intrinsically linked.
Definitely. Yeah. And even though, like, you know, things weren't always rosy, I feel like because they were maybe on the tougher end of the scale, it's given me an even more awareness, mindfulness, and a want to make those changes. So I do feel like you can find forgiveness, acceptance, and love for both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Do you think you've become more forgiving since you become a mother?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I guess because I can't imagine not being in my daughter's life. And like I don't get those phone calls or like the happy Mother's Days or the happy birthdays from my family. So, well, from my parents, really. And I look at them or like things that happened to me at a really young age that shouldn't have. I see my kids coming of those ages. And in some ways, it makes me more angry because I have to like bring it up again and face it because I'm like, there is no way I would let those sorts of things or let the circumstances happen for them to have to face those. And then I feel, you know, you have to deal with the like the guilt of it and then the reverence of it and all these different emotions. So I just feel like I'm really happy that I've learned a lot of coping mechanisms, whether it's like guided meditation or running or nature or essential oils or just reaching out and speaking to other moms, other people. Like, I'm happy that if anything, like I have those tools to rely on because you've got to be in a good grounded place as a mom because kids.
Yeah.
It's like psychological warfare over here.
Absolutely.
It's mad as well to think that because I carried around so much anger with me. And I think when I had my kids, you know, this was just stuff that was going on between me and my mum growing up. Suddenly I had my children and I was almost going the completely the opposite and I was being too much, you know, I wouldn't let Luna alone for a second. And I was suffocating her with love because I felt in a way slightly abandoned by elements of my mum's, you know, upbringing with me. And I've had these conversations with her, so I don't feel like I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say to her. But it was like, it was rocking me so much because I was like, well, you know, if I do this, she's going to think that I don't want to be around her. So I'm just going to be around her all the time and I can't leave her. And I felt this enormous amount of guilt. And actually, when I did my work and I did loads of inner child work, Caroline said to me, you know, just because your mum did a certain something to you doesn't mean you are going to do the same thing to Luna. You have got to let it go. And it was really, it was a really powerful moment where I was like, oh my God, I'm not my mother. I'm not her. She was amazing in so many ways, you know, but I'm not her.
Yeah. And the thing is, everyone's circumstances are different, aren't they? And I've got a really good relationship with my mum, but maybe my teenage years, not so much. And now I look back, I just think, wow, like how did she hold it together when I was doing all of that to her? And if anything, I've taken a lot of it forward and I think, right, no, I will do that, but actually I used to lie to her about that, so maybe I won't be so nice, maybe I'll be a bit tougher or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what, there's an element of that, like, you know, like you said, they do their best. And my mom, like, her mom ran away when she was 3 years old. She had no money, she was raised on food stamps, she was whipped with like a razor strap, like she didn't have it very well. So if anything, like she took it a step forward and she did her best, which was what it was. And so it's all relative, isn't it? And if anything, like, you know, I got to go to my dance classes, I did my competitions, I won scholarships, trained in New York. Like, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish the things that I had if I hadn't had that support from especially my mom and my grandmother. And that's the thing, like, my grandmother was a brilliant woman who was always there for me and believed. And Willow's middle name is named after her. It's Jane. So if anything, like, you know, you have the goods and the bads. You just search for the little nuggets that you need to try and be the mum that you want to be.
Do you worry now, having two girls, do you worry about that relationship between mother and daughter?
Yeah, I guess I do. But I think the thing about them choosing their relationship that they want to have with you, I take that on board. But I also know that no matter what, I will always be calling, I'll be texting, I'll be showing up. Like, they're not getting rid of me. Like, I will be there.
It's really interesting what you say about the sort of relationship they want to have with you, because I find it even now, you know, my kids are only 1 and 4, but I've raised them in exactly the same way. You know, I've been the same parent to them, but they are so different, like so different. And you're going to have a different relationship with each of your children, aren't you? And it's up to them to decide how that is.
You're right, though. You're right. And my cousin was saying to me the other day, my mum raised me as her best friend. I remember that the language was like, oh my gosh, you and me, we're exactly the same, two peas in a pod. We're best friends. And I just grew up with a best mate. I don't have a mother figure. I had a very, very, very amazing, gregarious, outgoing, you know, always wanting to be at the parties type of mother. And my cousin said to me, you are not her best friend. You are not Luna's best friend. You are her mother. And that is what I'm trying to work on, is like being connected and being super close. But if she wants a best mate, she can go to a school and find one.
Yeah.
100%. That speaks to me a lot, because my mom, I think, wanted a best mate. And I think emotionally she was really, you know, she was crushed. So she was looking for somebody to fix her. And I was the fixer, but I'm the kid. And you can't expect a kid to fix you. And so often she'd get really wasted and come to me about, you're the only one that loves me and you're my best friend. And, you know, it was quite crushing, because it was so much pressure as such a youngster that's so influenceable and naive. And, you know, it's too much to put on a kid.
Totally.
So as much as I want to have a mate relationship when the time comes, I think being a mum is more important than being a friend. So
absolutely,
100% agree with that.
I think if you are a mum to your children for 18 years, it comes full circle. Like I said, my mum was always, you know, the mum that she was there for me, but she wasn't huggy, and she was very huggy and lovely, but she wasn't all over me. And then now we are best friends. We are best friends. I think maybe she allowed me to have some space. I don't know. But it's really interesting.
That's
that
interesting.
That. Yeah.
That's interesting, George.
So this is the thing. When I meet somebody that has a really good relationship with a parent, I always like to know, what do you think was the secret of you guys having such a gorgeous relationship?
I think about it. In fact, I asked one of my friends about it, because we talk all the time about what are our girls going to be like, particularly when they're teenagers, and how are we going to deal with it? And she always says to me, I feel like your mum let you be you. She just let you be you, whatever that was. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, she never pushed me into anything, you know? And sometimes that used to annoy me, because I used to think, well, why didn't you make me try harder at this? And why didn't you push me into that? But actually, she's probably just giving me the freedom to do what I wanted to do. I guess that's where, I don't know, but we've got a good relationship now. And I think it probably was being allowed to be who I was.
Yeah. And not trying to mold you into the person that she thought you should be.
Which is difficult.
Yeah. I think that side of it, letting your child be the person that they want to be, is super important, because we all have this preconceived idea in our heads about, you know, even down to what outfit looks nice together. We decide that, we put that together. And I think that it's, if your child comes in and they've put an amazing outfit together that doesn't quite match, just go, okay, crack on. My mum would always go, oh, that doesn't work together, change. But actually, it's a case of going, you want to wear it, just wear it, be you.
I do think it's difficult to not push them into things, but you do imagine. I think it's so easy to be like, oh, I imagine that, you know, my daughter will be into dancing when she's older, or, you know, she's gonna do this because I did that, or whatever. And it is hard not to, I guess, direct them into something, because that's what you want. The same, you know, with Dozer and James, sport, we feel like our sons will play sport, but they might not, you know, they might not. And I am trying to not put that on my children now. I don't know if it's working. But
do you feel that way with dance, Kim? Because obviously that's such a big part of your life, and you've got a dance studio at home, haven't you?
The whole time I was pregnant, I kept thinking get into science or architecture, or, you know, something just different than dance and performance and entertainment. But let me tell you, Willow's come out in my belly. She had one leg over her head the entire 9 months, which is why I had to have a C-section. And already she just has a love for the stage. She has a love for dance. So she's in dance and been doing a bit of gymnastics and stuff. And it's a bit undeniable. So now I feel at that teeter edge of okay, I want to push her in a way to be the best performer she can be and help guide her to have opportunities to explore what that means to her. But at the same time, be willing that if it's not her thing, or you feel like maybe you've pushed too hard, to just gauge it right, so that you're not the one creating the monster that will be, but allowing her to somehow find it while still giving her a platform and giving her the support that I would want to give to her because I have the experience and the know-how. Yeah. And especially I get excited because at the minute she's like, "Mommy, look at my cartwheel or look at my back bend." And I'm like, Oh, you're good.
You're good.
Talent phase. Get it. So I'm like, okay, now straighten those legs and point your toes. I'm like, wait.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
What an amazing feeling though, like to have that shared interest.
Yeah, that is quite a beautiful thing. And I get like, she doesn't like to perform on the spot. She needs to have a moment to prepare her whole situation. And then she likes to present it. And I'm like, I understand that. Everybody give her space. She needs a moment. She'll present it when she's ready. Because I'm like, that's kind of how I was. So it's nice to have a bit of insight into it, but I can already tell it's going to be just a tough little walk, you know, balancing beam to just do
yeah.
it right.
Yeah, and also we just never want to be those parents that are like, go on, perform for Uncle Dave. Go on, yes. Uncle Dave wants to see it. And she's like, oh God, I don't like Uncle Dave. He's really creepy and I don't want to perform on this. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't be that parent. Sing, I did it to Arlie the other day. I was like, sing your song that you've written, sing yeah. it. And she was going, I don't want to. And I was like, okay. Don't do it then.
It's so true. Sorry. But it's such yeah. intrinsic, like, mum things. Like, yes. you want them to shine. You kind of want to yeah. show them off at times. But yeah. it's like being aware enough in that moment to be like, oh, I did that.
Yeah, you want to be like, oh, look, we have the family. Look, here's all their skills. Look what yeah. they can do.
Look at the back bend. Go. And talking of, obviously, your dance and career and stuff, let's go back to when you had Senna, because that was, you've spoken about this before publicly, but what a moment for you. The band was back together, you guys were traveling, performing, doing all the rest of it, and then you popped a baby out. So talk us through that.
Oh my God. So like I felt like it would be a real shame if the Pussycat Dolls didn't get back together. And so for over two years I'd been sort of trying to get the conversations going and started and try and pull something together. And then we finally decided we were going to make it happen. And a week later, I found out I was pregnant. And it was a huge surprise to the point it was so not even an option in my head that I thought something was seriously wrong with me because, you know, I was being ill and the whole thing. And so when we found out, I was somewhat devastated. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew that the Dolls reunion was coming about. I didn't know if I was ready to continue this juggle of career and motherhood. It's already difficult with two. How in the world would we do three? So it was like a few days of just real soul searching about how I felt about that situation. But when we both were on board of like, we're going to have a third, this is going to happen. And it was just okay. We're going to have a third, but this time we're going to make it work within the life that we have laid out. So instead of like conforming to the pregnancy, it was like the pregnancy had to conform to our lives because three children ain't cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so this time it was like Max got Pilates certified. He knew how to help with the pregnancy through Pilates. So he was helping me stay fit. I'm staying active. I'm keeping dancing because I knew this baby needed to pop out and mama needed to be back on stage. So I was lucky enough to meet a gorgeous doctor who helped me through the process and knew exactly how to just help by stitching an ab back together, clamping those tubes tight so that no more surprises happen. like gave me the minimum amount of drugs and pain situations and got me on my feet as soon as possible. And we actually filmed it. We've sort of have like a documentary of the whole situation from the first steps out of the hospital bed to getting that leg over the head 6.5 weeks later on X Factor.
Oh my God. And were you, did you say that you were I don't know what the official term is, but did you have your tubes tied when you went in for your C-section?
Yes. Yes. Wow. I sure did. Yeah. So, I mean, she like dove in, she did a little stitch to get my abs back together because that separation takes so long to get them back together. Pelvic floor exercises like crazy. Clamp those tubes. And yeah, I was on my feet and sort of working towards that performance pretty much straight away. Trying to be really mindful of the body because it's such a tough little process, you know. It's not a simple thing, a cesarean. But yeah, that moment that we did it and we did that performance and finished, like it was one thing as a reunion, as a Pussycat Doll, you know, 10 years later, it was another as a family and walking backstage, you know, I was breastfeeding before I got on stage. When I go back, Max is, you know, standing there holding this tiny little baby. It was like, we did this together. And it was pretty epic. It felt like a challenge of a lifetime of like, what are our bodies really capable of? I wouldn't suggest anybody do it, but for me, it was a challenge I was ready to take on.
Yeah. And mentally, how did you prepare for that?
Like, how do you prepare for it? I mean, I was fighting so many insecurities. You know, my belly is loose. It's big. I have fluid throughout my whole body. I'm producing milk. Like, I didn't feel fighting fit, that's for sure. But if anything, I wanted to make a choice of, like, just accepting and celebrating our body in whatever form it is in that moment. And in my own little mind, I was really taking a stand for women and for moms and choosing to be a pussycat doll and be sexy and sensational, as well as just owning being a mom and being vulnerable and feeling big and juicy and leaking from every orifice.
I love you. I love you so much for that you. Because I think you stood there and I remember just personally being like, I'm just so proud of you for everything that you'd achieved as your mate, but also just what you did for women in that moment, I think was just really powerful. Like you said, everything you've just said there, we all felt it watching you.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can be sexy and be a mum and have leaking boobs, like you just said, and just rock it.
Absolutely. And there's not many, you don't get many opportunities like that to really like own it. So I just wanted to take it, and for whatever it was worth, you know, there's like 600 and something complaints about being too sexy. I was like, you have no idea what was going on behind the scenes.
I take that as a compliment. That's brilliant.
Kim, you mentioned that obviously Max was there waiting in the aisles with you backstage with Senna. You have the most incredibly supportive husband. And in fact, I met him the other day when Doz was away. I had the three kids. You were away filming. He had your three. And I said, right, we've got six kids to look after between us here. So I need to take Kit for a wee. And he went, oh my God, does that mean I'm in charge of five? And I was like, don't lose five. When I came back, he went, right, I've got eyes on three. So that means we're missing two. And I was like, oh God, Max. But there he was, just absolutely bossing it in the park. So I guess I want to know, you know, about the sort of ins and outs of that relationship and the conversations around it and how he feels about kind of really picking up the 50-50 split with you when you were away.
I'll tell you what, I have the most amazing husband. Max is such a brilliant human. He's so supportive. He, I guess from being a model, being a supermodel for so many years, he really understands what it's like to be a woman and be sexy, but also really celebrate the vulnerabilities of what comes with that as well and what comes with motherhood. And, you know, he really like held my hand and helped me prepare. And even to this day, you know, my work as an entertainer takes me away to Belfast to film and be an actress for a couple months, or go row the length of Britain and Don't Rock the Boat on ITV or whatever, you know, thing that I'm doing. Like, he's holding it down at home. And ultimately, we are such a partnership. You know, like there's sometimes where the husband or the man in the partnership is looking after the kids and people relate it to, oh, are you babysitting today?
No, daddy daycare, like, bullshit.
Oh, no. Like, this is our child. You're being a dad today. And if anything, we just know that we're there for each other. So if he has a shoot and has to go away or has to travel to New York or whatever, I'll hold it down. If I have to go and do what we need to do to support this family, then he holds it down. And it really is like, it's a partnership. I think it's a modern family, if you will.
Yeah.
And what are the elements that you guys struggle with, I guess? Because I really like that whole, you know, it is a partnership and it is a team. And let's be honest, it's 2021. This is not a sort of archetypal old fashioned look at what a marriage looks like or a relationship looks like. So, but I guess, you know, I'm also in that sort of space, and Georgia obviously has to hold it down when James is away every single weekend. He's a professional footballer. So are there elements of it that you guys struggle with, or are you kind of, nah, this works for us and we're good?
I mean, I think there's always the struggle. I think being a parent is a struggle to a certain extent from time to time. Like, it's so intense. And, you know, there was days when I'm away where he's just like, I don't know if I could do this. And I have to be understanding in that moment and just be like, if you can't, honestly, tell me, I will fly home right now and it's not a problem. But, and I think, you know, it's always just the how you sort of spread out all the duties of parenthood and trying to have as much balance as possible. And there's times where I feel overloaded with the housework and the cleaning and the nappies and the kids and the screaming and the crying and the naughty stuff. It's like, it's a lot. And so I think there is just always trying to play that balancing game and being able to communicate if you feel like the partner that's sort of getting left behind in the muck of it all, if you will.
Yeah.
And being able to sort of even it back out. I'm finding times to just take it all on and let somebody have a break and then find time for the other person to do it. And I think within all of that spectrum, there's always times where we're having not problems, but we're trying to communicate and sort things out to keep that balance as good as possible. Because oftentimes we both want the break.
Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, that's really interesting that you say, like, sometimes it's okay to take everything on and to give that other person a break. And I think if you know the other person's going to do it back for you, you don't resent it. Because, you know, there's times when, you know, there will be times I'm going back into kind of the corporate world soon.
Yeah, and James will be at home.
I know. you know, James will be at home for the month and he'll have to pick up everything. But I know that I've done it for him for God knows how long. So I hope he won't see and resent me.
He won't.
It's a tough old thing.
It is so hard. It is really hard.
I think as well, like, you hit the nail on the head if you can communicate that. But I think what happens, especially in the early stages of being a parent, you know, one partner maybe has to go back to work straight away, and they only get a couple of weeks off. And then the other person has had their whole world turned upside down. They're trying to hold it down and keep it together. And then their partner, you know, is off at work. And that's almost conceived as not works. It's like, you don't know what I'm doing here all day. And then people stop communicating and then the arguments start and you can see how it happens. And there are periods where I think we've all probably gone, shit, man, we need to be able to communicate this better.
Absolutely. And I think for me anyway, as a mum, like, the kids want their mom sometimes. Like, I feel so overwhelmed with, like, holding Seda and this one's screaming and the other one's screaming and they all want something from me. And Max is outside doing DIY. Let me tell you, he's got like 10 DIY jobs outside on the go at any moment just so he can get the hell out of the house and get some time to just, like, collect and meditate. I really feel that's what it is.
That's amazing. But
and I get that. I just wish I could figure out some DIY outside the house that I can take on to get my moment.
Your own DIY. You've got to, I'm just off to do some, put some scaffolding up or something that's going to get me outside. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And in terms of, like, going forward, I guess obviously you've just said that when you had your C-section, no more kids. So there aren't any more kids on the horizon. Do you feel like you are getting time for you and Max, and are you, you know, we've just had a year in lockdown, so now we can actually go outside and eat in a restaurant. Do you guys make the most of having those times together and go on dates and stuff?
I think I can feel those moments starting to come back. We're not quite there yet, and Senna is still so, like, he's a year and a half and he's still stuck to his mummy, and I feel like I can't believe I'm still in that stage. Like, I still have a whole another nursery run to go with another kid. So, but I could see where Maple and Willow are at these older stages and how much you get yourself and your relationship back. So I just keep reminding myself that, like, this is the sacrifice you make to just be a mom and be there and be parents as they're going through these very young stage, and know that it does sort of get easier. And now that lockdown is easing a bit and his parents are able to look after the kids here and there and every once in a while, I know we definitely are due some time of just us. And I think that is so important. Like, You know, you come out the other end, all you really have is the two of you and your relationship and your partnership. And you can't just forget it throughout all of these years that you're raising kids. And it's hard because I get lost in motherhood. I get lost in their wants and needs and wishes and wanting to create fun and all of that. But it's important for those date nights, because for me, I got to connect back to the whole reason this all began, those moments to fall in love with Max all over again and just have the life that we started with, so that when we end, we've still got it.
Got it.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. George, I think we should ask him for a piece of advice.
Yeah, we always love to ask our guests one piece of advice that they would give, you know, either to a new mum or another parent. Just what would you tell someone who is looking for some advice?
Instincts is a big one. But you know what? So I teach Bring Your Heels classes, which is like empowerment classes for kids, for teens, for women, depending on who I'm teaching. And just owning your space and owning like who you are as a woman, as a person outside of being a mom is so important. And in those times where you just feel like it feels like a struggle, like sometimes like even a day, you feel like you're at the bottom of a mountain looking up at like how in the world you're going to climb it. It's the three rules that I've lived by as a dancer, as a person, as a human, as a mom, is never say I can't, always say I'll try. It just do your best, because all you can expect of yourself and of others is your best. And that just goes for everything. And I think it goes for motherhood as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. That. She's amazing, isn't she? I told you she was, G.
Oh my gosh. Brilliant. I feel like I've learned so much in the last, 45 minutes or so. It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Well, God, thanks for having me. It's always so lovely to chat motherhood. And I felt like we really got to dive in.
Thank you so much for coming on, an absolute treat. I want to give you a virtual hug, but I'll see you soon.
Yay, yes.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Told you she was amazing.
She really, really was. You did say that. You really did big her up, and she absolutely surpassed all expectations. So
she's got such a lovely way, hasn't she?
Yeah,
such a great
she
man.
Has. And just like all her advice was just incredible. And I love the way that we had the chat about, you know, pushing your kids into certain things, whether that be dancing or sport. And actually, I was thinking about it after the chat and how easy it is to do that without giving it a thought. Like Saturday, we took Axel to football. And Jane, you know, it's just one of those things. Well, I don't know why we think automatically when we have a boy, you have to take them to do football or rugby, but I guess you just one of them things
because society says we have to.
Yeah, but you just do it. And James said last week he was really into it, like running around, like tackling, and this week he was standing in goal pretending to play the electric guitar. And you think, oh gosh, am I doing the right thing here, or should I be sending him to like stage school at the weekend? But you know, we just gotta see.
I mean, he's not even five, and I think it's really important to just let them do what they love. And if he's not enjoying it, or he says to you, mummy, I don't want to go, then you sort of assess it, really. But it's also really important to show our children all the different aspects of life, you know, from like singing to piano lessons to sport to whatever it is that we can do for them. One of the things that one of the things I'm like massive on is just being outside. And I think probably that's because of my upbringing in Kenya, that I want to teach the kids about nature. You know, it's just, you know, we're so lucky to live where we live. I think just the UK, and it's just so beautiful. And so they're really amazing. When they say bees, we talk about honey. And when, you know, if they see birds, we try and identify them. We've got this red robin that's living in the garden that I say hello to every morning. If they see, you know, a worm that's been killed, they'll put it back to nature and take it to like a grassy spot. It's just those little things that I love doing for them. So it doesn't necessarily have to be about taking them to a class or to this or to that. It's just, I don't know, we all have those things that we want our children to grow up knowing.
I guess it's about sharing the experiences that you've had with them. But it's a minefield, not forcing them into anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all just trying, aren't we?
We really are. And when we move, we're moving kind of three roads away from Kim to our new house.
Yeah.
And she's got a dance studio attached to her house. So I've already messaged her going, because she does dance class lessons for kids. And Luna and Isla are like, when can we go there? I was like, you tell me lie. I said to Kim, I was like, can we put them in?
Imagine your dance teacher being an actual pussycat doll. I mean, I don't think it gets much better than that. Does she do adult classes? Can I come along? I mean,
me and you.
Maybe I'll join you.
Wish your girlfriend was hurt. Oh God, no, stop it.
Oh my goodness.
We've got a Q&A coming up on Friday, so keep sending in your messages for that. You can find them on our socials. And as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast.
Yes, please do. And thank you so much for sending in all of your questions and your suggestions. You know that our DMs are always open if you want any advice or just want to give us some feedback. We're on @MadeByMamas or on Zoe's own channel @ZoeHardman. And we're going to be back on Friday. We'll see you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.